Introduction. Plato's Wish. In 1813, several years after they had served as presidents of the United States, Thomas Jefferson wrote John Adams expressing hope that the future would bring a natural aristocracy, arising directly from democracy rather than transmitted by inheritance. An aristocracy based not on birth or wealth, but on virtue and talent. Impossible, scoffed Adams. There can be no distinction between a natural and artificial aristocracy when the very category is constructed not by nature, but by society's conventions. Education, wealth, strength, beauty, stature, birth, marriage, graceful attitudes and motions, gait, complexion, physiognomy, are talents, as well as genius and science and learning. Today, such aristocratic attributes are enjoyed by athletic heroes, military bravehearts, saintly popes, glitzy billionaires, sashaying fashion models, opera divas, rock stars, and Academy Award winners. Adams warned Jefferson that even a democracy would spawn an aristocratic class capable of commanding attention. Lest we assume that such recognition goes to the young, rich, and beautiful, we should remember what Adams could never forget. The aging, overweight Ben Franklin was lionized in Paris as much for his sexual conquests as his scientific achievements. Madonna would understand. So too, some of our contemporary artists who would settle for celebrity status, even if it lasts for only 15 minutes. But could President Adams, himself driven by the spur of fame, ever enjoy it? Some presidents leave the executive office in fame and glory, others in shame and disgrace. Adams left in silence and darkness at 4 a.m, the day his successor was to be sworn in. He left as he entered, perhaps the finest mind ever to be elected to the highest office of the land. A great president? Bad times make good presidents, and worse times, great ones. Whatever challenges leaders strengthens them. And a true leader is a born enemy of complacency, one who thrives in a crisis. But normal times without a severe economic depression arouse little concern among the American people. And people are more confused than convinced when they find their country fighting a war militarily while Congress debates declaring it politically, with France 1798, Mexico 1848, North Korea 1950, Vietnam 1966. Perversely, the best moment redounding to the popularity of a president is when America is attacked, Fort Sumter, 1861, the Maine, 1898, the Lusitania, 1916, Pearl Harbor, 1941, the World Trade Center, 2001. Short of such historical drama, the presidency is like an act without role or script, and the people, an audience, viewing a play without plot or purpose, a performance lacking tension, conflict, tragedy, and resolution. Such was the situation faced by John Adams, the second president of the United States, who served during the formative years of the young republic, 1797 to 1801, long after the revolution had been gloriously fought and the Constitution wisely established. The late 1790s became a period when leaders were asked to manage government rather than to make history. Thus, Adams's brief 4 years in office seemed to stand out as a pathetic parenthesis, a case of character constrained by circumstance. Coming to the presidency after George Washington and followed by Thomas Jefferson, two towering figures who started the Virginia dynasty that would be continued by James Madison and James Monroe, Adams was the only one of the first presidents to serve a single term in the executive office. Andrew Jackson, another Southerner who identified with Jefferson, also served for a successful 2 terms, 1829 to 1837, after defeating John Quincy Adams, who, like his father, left office after only 1 term, 1825 to 1829. In the 1960s, at a dinner in the White House hosting the Nobel Prize winners in the Western Hemisphere, John F. Kennedy remarked that never before in American history had there been such a gathering of brilliance since Thomas Jefferson dined alone. Would Adams agree? I dined a large company once or twice a week. Jefferson dined a dozen every day, Adams growled to Benjamin Rush. I had levees once a week. that all my time might not be wasted by idle visits. Jefferson's whole 8 years was a levy. American political history begins with the rift between Adams and Jefferson, and it evolved naturally from the psychology of the American founding. The Federalist authors, the theoreticians of the Constitution, made not confidence and trust, but suspicion and doubt, the emotions that would create the possibility of political order, and jealousy was seen as the handmaiden of liberty, a never-sleeping jealousy, as Adams put it. Just before they died, Adams and Jefferson embraced each other as brothers, but in their early political careers, the two suspicious minds could only find in each other exactly what they suspected. Thus, Adams distrusted Jefferson as a wasteful aristocrat idling away time on frivolities, and Jefferson suspected Adams himself of scheming to establish the rule of aristocracy in America. Although Jefferson suffered the charge of being a religiously incorrect non-believer, somehow the Virginian, whose elitist educational ideas would rake the genius from the rubbish, and whose ideology made the pursuit of happiness into a national creed, escaped the charge of aristocracy. Yet historically, ease and happiness had been the entitlement of aristocratic society, the leisure class that, as Aristotle put it, could devote itself to civic affairs because it need not bother with the drudgery of labor.